B-Pod Studios.
Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah.
Sports in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. 98.5, the sports hub.
Over the line, right side, into the right circle. Krejci shoots, going top shelf, and McElhinney stopped him.
Yeah, so the Bruins had two defensemen and a forward out there for that faceoff.
Stolen by DeBrusque. Near circle, DeBrusque. Centers, backhand, they score! David Krejci out in front, forehand, a backhand, dumps it into the empty net. McElhinney had no chance. Bruins spill off the bench. A 4-3 overtime winner over Carolina.
All right, let's get to the Bees. Your thoughts on that one last night, Murray. You still on the train, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, look, for stretches, the way that they played, it kind of felt like they might have stole one. You know, credit to guys like DeBrusque, obviously. Krejci, who continues to play, you know, at a whole completely different level that we haven't seen in quite some time. But, I don't know, as good as Brad Marchand was, I thought at points he was bad. How many turnovers did he have at one point? You know, frisky little win, good. It just felt like, I don't know, there was a bit of a dip there, and I was like, oh, man, here we go, kind of like reverting a little bit back. But, no, I'm still all aboard the Bees train.
Okay, well, it's one of those wins, you know. I don't think they were the better team last night.
No.
I kind of think they got away with one, and it's not even like their goalie stole it. I just think they somehow won that game when they weren't the better team.
I was worried about that game going in. To me, it felt like a letdown kind of night.
And that following the New Jersey game on Saturday, too, was like, ugh.
I mean, they're due. They've got to have a letdown. I mean, it's okay. Like, they don't have to be the best. It can't be the best team every night for 82. It's 17 straight without a loss, whatever that is. Like, that's so fine. I'm not even going to get on them. But I just think that was one of them where they sort of got away with one. But maybe that's a sign of a good team that they're not at their best and they still win the game.
I mean, you know, and the play at the end, the goal that we just played.
Tremendous.
I thought that called DeBrusque. To me, that was, and this is why
completely.
This is why I love DeBrusque, because he's a fabulous forechecker. And it's not something that will show up on his stat sheet. He doesn't have many assists. It's not who he is.
Right.
But he undressed the guy, took the puck, warded him off with his strength and his size, spun around and made a pass to Krejci, who, to me, we know about Krejci's poise in front of the net. But, you know, look, they're on a roll. They are absolutely on a roll, and there's a lot to like in that team right now, both young and old.
So let me tell you what I liked last night, even though I don't think they were the better team last night. What I loved, again, is the response and the physicality and how they carried themselves as a team. Tremendous fight and getting each other's back and all of that. And it started, that game, especially with the Whalers uniforms, that felt like early 90s Adams Division Bruins Whale. Didn't it? After the Johansson hit and he goes out, then immediately comes that Bruins fourth line, and bodies are flying all over the place, and guys are spilling the ice, and they're running each other, and then Backus drops the glove, and it's like, here we go. Pat Verbeek, Kevin Dineen, LB, Randy Burge, Gary Galley, Nick Kiprios, here we go. Bruins, Whalers, 1990, Adams Division. Didn't it feel like that?
Oh, I loved Verbeek. He was good.
It was so nice. I mean, it felt like that sort of era of game, and of course, now that it's 2019, it can't evolve into that, which is unfortunate. If that were 30 years ago, we would have had a Bruins Whale sort of yard sale kind of night.
Donnybrook?
Yeah, that's how it felt after Johansson went down. But just that response, I love it. I love it. And I think that's the sign of a really healthy team and a team that's capable of doing something. I mean, I do, in hockey, that is important. In basketball, it's not. In hockey, that is important. And it's always been hugely important to this team. I mean, for sure, the Bruins, that's in their DNA. And it's not a fighting league anymore, so it doesn't devolve into that. It's not like you beat the crap out of the Whale. In fact, I think they got the better of the physical altercations. They beat you up, if you want to play that out, but you're willing to go there. And it all started with that Johansson hit, which was completely clean.
It was clean.
It was completely clean. And the Bruins overreacted. Good. Fine. Happy to see that.
Well, a new guy on the team too, right?
With a concussion history and not the most physical guy. And so, okay, you're going to, I mean, and again, I don't think the Bruins were right in this. I think that they overreacted to it. But if you're going to run one of our top six, then, you know, you're going to have to answer for it. And I just love that response. I love that response. And to me, that's what stands out in that game last night.
I mean, look, the fact that, and they've shown this before, you know, we contrasted them with the Celtics earlier on. So they will fight for each other. It bummed me out to see Johansson get hurt.
Okay, so now that's the bad news, because it feels like he sort of works, and that felt like a good pickup, someone who had a chance to help you. He's already helped you. He helps fill out that lineup, and he answers a lot of, or helps, you know, gives you the chance to have three real lines where you didn't have it before, and he's got a bad injury history, a concussion history, thanks to Marchmont. But he's got one.
And that he's still in the hospital, that just feels ominous.
So I was going to ask you, is there an update, Murray?
No, nothing further than what Cassidy had a little while ago.
And which was?
He remains at the hospital undergoing tests. Further update going to be provided by the team at some point today.
Did Cassidy at some point say that it looks optimistic, it looks good? Did he say that? Did I hear that somewhere?
I don't remember. The only thing I read is that they'd have more of an update on it today. That's all I heard. And that, you know, to me, what I worry about up in that area is, look, shoulder's easy, right? Because you get hit on the shoulder, you know, you get a separated shoulder or whatever, always a possibility. I also worry about that collarbone area.
So, Cassie, I'm sorry, Matt, just because I just said it.
Yeah.
And I can't effing Twitter. Cassie on Marcus Johansson, he went to the hospital, .. It looks encouraging. But I don't want to speak out of turn. Yes, he can't help himself, but just tell the truth. The guy's just, I'm constantly on truth serum. He went to the hospital. It looks encouraging, but I don't want to speak out of turn. When tests are done, we'll have a better answer. So I hope, I don't know. But given Johansson's history, I don't know how he could be encouraged.
I mean, it's immediately the first thing I went, oh, here we go. Like, I thought instinctively, I thought concussion. I said, here we go again. They get a guy who's starting to play well after he's been, you know, his head's been clear for a little while, and all of a sudden he gets hit, and that's it. I also wonder with Johansson, after watching that, like, is this sort of the quote-unquote book on him?
Yes.
Right? Like,
it definitely is.
Is this how teams are going to negate him? By knocking him around because they know he doesn't like it and they know he can't handle it. Like, it's one of the first things that popped into my head going into the playoffs.
Okay, so what I also find fascinating, and it came to the fore again last night, was David Backes is the one that answers with the gloves. He's the one that then Ferland hit Johansson, and so it's Backes is the one that drops him with Michael Ferland. Talk about a concussion history. I mean, go back and watch the shot that took Backes out of the playoffs last year. He was knocked into next week.
I now wince when he fights. Like, okay. Part of me loves it, but it's like, ugh.
And this is now a guy who's had how many? Well, he's one of these guys who's had six, seven untold dozens in his career. He's been playing for such a long period of time that, you know, he played in an era when they probably didn't even, you know, consider him concussions, or they didn't diagnose him. Get back out there. You got your bell rung. So who knows? He's one of these guys that has had countless concussions. Probably doesn't even know the number. And he's not really a really productive player anymore on the ice. So he's sort of taken this upon himself to stay in the lineup and stay relevant to the team. He's taken on this quote-unquote enforcer role, which I find fascinating. I find admirable. I might find a little sad or conflicted, because we all know what concussions can do to you now. And the more you have, the more danger there is later on in life. And he's taking this on there to stick his nose in there and get his head pounded in every other night. To stay on the ice and stay relevant. Like, on one hand, like, wow, tough guy. Admirable. On the other hand,
he ended up on his back again last night.
It took
three in a week.
Yeah, so he's 1-2 in his last three. And the two, he went down and went down hard. But just hearing him talk about it after the game, to me, I think it's really a good sign. I mean, I think the DNA of that Bruins team is really good, and I think Backes is a part of it. So the sound is a little, there's gals chirping in the background, so I don't know exactly how this is going to sound. It didn't sound great on my phone, so hopefully you can just follow David Backes on him taking that fight last night and his role.
I don't know if it's enforcer role. I think there's times during a game or during a season when you need to step up for your teammates, and you know, whether it was a liberty taken or, you know, tonight's it's a hard, clean hit, but if guys are running out of skill guys, we need to make them accountable, and I felt it was an opportunity for me to step up and, you know, fill that role. And I asked Butchie when they're in Vegas, when we had a meeting, that I could be put in roles to, or places to have a bigger impact on games, and, you know, whether that's with my gloves off or my gloves on, you know, I think he's provided me those opportunities, and hopefully I've done the job for him.
Okay, David Backes is how old? He's made how much money? He's making $6 million a year, and he gets to make $6 million a year whether he takes the gloves off or not, whether he's a healthy scratch or not, whether he fights or skates in figure eights. He doesn't have to do a damn thing. He has made tens of millions of dollars. He makes, again, guaranteed $6 million a year, will for another couple of years. And when he started to be a healthy scratch, that's what he said at the very end of that thing. When I met with, did he call him by a nickname or did he say Bruce?
No, he said Butchie.
Butchie. Okay, good. Butchie. I couldn't hear with all that chirping in the background.
When he's 35 in May.
So he's 35 years old. He's set financially. He's $6 million guaranteed for the next 2 years, whether he laces them up again or not, or drops the gloves or not, or subjects himself to another concussion or not. So he's set. He could put his feet up and be that's it. But when he started to get scratched here in the last month, he and Butchie had a heart-to-heart. Talk about another long flight, you know, when they went out to Vegas, or maybe they went out in Vegas. And he said, I still want to be a part of this. I need a role. And so this is what he's come up with. He's now going to be the quote-unquote enforcer on the team. 35 years old, not a winning fighter. You know, again, his record this year is he's underwater as far as I'm concerned. At least the last three, he got his ass kicked in two of them, including last night. But he's doing it because he wants to stay viable and keep a role. And, you know, just he admits clean hit. But if the other side's going to be running our skill guys, that there should be an answer for it. So I love everything about that comment.
I mean, it's old school.
It is so old school.
That's about as old school as you get. Like, you're going to go after our skill guys. We come after you. That's the rule. Like, that's how we do it. And so I worry about the guy's, like, long-term viability as a man. Well, you really, like, you just wonder, dude, what are you going to look like when you're 55? In 20 years, what's it going to be like? So, but, you know, I was just looking it up. He's only got 25 penalty minutes on the year. So this is all coming now.
Does he have five fights and that's it?
Probably.
Is he taking a minor?
I'm not sure we can catch anyone to trip him. Like, that's probably part of the issue. Like, maybe it is. Maybe it's five fights looking at it. 25 penalty minutes all year. Like, that would be incredible if you think about it.
Yes, it would be.
So part of me, like you said, one of the emotions you feel is a little sad. I do feel that way for him. Like, because I just... The Bruins wanted him in part because of his makeup, so we shouldn't be surprised.
Oh, his makeup is through the roof. His makeup is just off the charts. It is. But you have that other thing tugging at you.
Oh, I totally do. And look, I told you, I saw a comment Cassidy made. I haven't heard the audio, but he was asked about whether he was worried about Backus, and Cassidy says, I do, dot, dot, dot. I worry about, dot, dot, dot. Listen, they're human beings first, and when you coach them every day, that's always a concern.
Okay.
Cassidy knows.
So Backus answered this question after the game about his health and his mindset and the concussions and all of this. Of course, the Nana on the beat, Kevin Paul DuPont, was the one asking him. But Backus addresses it in his own words. Hopefully the chirping quiets down in the next couple cuts. You'll hear it when we come back right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Miss something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
See how Michael Ferland goes now.
Here they go. They're going to drop the glove. It's going to be Ferland and David Backus. High slot in the Bruins zone.
Third straight game. Or three out of four for Backus.
Yes. Each guy fighting right-handed. Ferland with a couple of rights. Jersey jab on the left. Backus with the right. Ferland with the left. And down they go. And the benches will salute each combatant.
Nice. You get on Jack for this. What? He lost the fight. Backus lost another fight. He got pounded. Why were you afraid to say that? God, he got walloped.
And he was bigger than this guy, too, right?
By a couple, yeah, by about 20 pounds, I think. So the last shot on his way down, he got lights out. He got beat up again.
They went down at the same time, Michael.
Yeah, I think Ferland sent him down. I think Ferland sent the whole thing going down. I don't know. Did I see it wrong? Did Backus win that fight? What's HockeyFights.com have? Don't they actually have a decision on there?
It was a draw.
No. What would you look it up for me? What does HockeyFights.com have?
I mean, he ended up on his back. Loss. It's got to be a loss.
Thank you. It's a loss. It's a loss. It's another loss, which is fine. I don't even care about that. I think, again, Backus's makeup, the way he's wired, is just through the roof. It's so good for the team, and it's so good to have a guy like that. And I, on one level, on most levels, a tremendous amount of respect for the way Backus is carrying himself, because he doesn't have to do this. His salary's guaranteed. He could just go sit on nine. He could wallow on the fourth line, getting 8 minutes a night, not wanting to be an impact, and just collect the check and play out his career. He's 35. He's just about done. He doesn't have to do this. And he's insisting on doing it because he wants a piece of it.
But if you're human, you could admit there's a little bit of a cringe factor. It's like Welker at the end. Like, you're waiting for one.
It's a good analogy.
One bad hit, and it's like, oh, God. Like, ugh. Just with what his history is?
Mm. Correct. What's so funny, Jimmy?
I actually pulled up the HockeyFights.com page of the Backus-Ferland fight, and it's 81% for Ferland, 18% for draw, and no votes, not a single vote for David Backus.
Thank you. Unless you listen to the local broadcasters, and then they went down together. It's like a draw.
It was a draw.
Oh, like, would you please?
18% say it's a draw.
God, when they win, they win. When they lose, they lose. Just, oh, that bugs me. Okay, anyway, love Judd Surratt, but please, he got the crap kicked out of him again. And he's got this big injury history, and again, you sort of feel for him. So Nana there, DuPont, asked him about it after the game. Again, another really interesting answer.
Nana Dupes.
From Backus here.
David, I just asked Butch if he worries about you, given the concussions. You've been so willing to get in there these last 3 games. Do you worry about you?
My wife probably does, but I think
I bet she does.
That can't be a thought in your head when you're out playing in the NHL. I think there's, you know, she might worry about me driving over 65 miles an hour on the pike too, and potential car accidents or whatever else that could come. But I think the game is, you look at the stats and you're not as prone to concussions actually fighting as you are from whiplash or side hits or shoulders to the face or elbows to the face. And you know, I guess it's a calculated decision, and if I'm going to stay, you know, part of this team and stay part of a winning team, that's, you know, maybe going to be part of my role, and I'm okay with it. And it's you know, sticking up for each other, sticking together. Again, it's a staple of what we do here.
Okay.
It's a balls answer.
It really is, though.
He's a man.
I mean, he's, again, I say old school. He's like, this guy's like a gladiator, for crying out loud. He really is. It's like, just, you know, put the armor on me and let me go. That's the deal. That's who I am.
Full man. Okay. And, you know, Dupes and anyone else, it's his life. You want to keep smoking those cigarettes? You want to keep taking those fights? That's their decision. Okay? That's their decision. And, you know, he makes a point. Now, there are people who think that the fighting is not super concussion prone. It's the other stuff. If I had a lot of concussions, I would say taking shots off the noggin every other night probably isn't a great idea. But that's sort of a line of thinking. But he's made a choice. He could easily do the other thing and just float for the next couple of years, collect his check, and go off into the ether.
I mean, for him, look, you know, the hockey's his identity, right?
He says, if I'm going to stay a part of this team, ... So there it is.
I mean, it's his identity. Being a hockey player is his identity. It's easy for someone like me to sit here and say, what are you doing? Because my identity is not tied up in concussions. Not, although sometimes I sound like I've had a few.
Okay.
But really, look, he's an admirable guy. He's easy to respect.
Okay, so there is our Bruins thoughts. What are yours? Mark in Medford. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, what's up, Mike? I got a few things in one
quick,
question.
Quick, you don't get a few things. Yep. You got to be quick.
All right, first, they're showing us that this team has no quit in them. They believe that they're in every game right now. And the way DeBrus took that puck last night, like he was in a schoolyard taking somebody's lunch money and saying, I'm taking it and there's nothing you can do about it. But, and they're proving that they are a cup contender right now. But my question is, since Sweeney's been the GM, do you think his best offseason move right now is Chris freaking Wagner?
No, but he has, I'll tell you, the Riley Nash move really worked. And now it's not the same role, the same line, the same position, but he's found like another guy, sort of another fringe, you know, and that's a little they're better than that, but, you know, a bottom six guy that's really contributing for you.
Grinder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Grinder. And again, you know, Wags is good as long as there's someone in the net. if it's an empty net, he's falling all over himself for crying out loud.
But once again, it's that line that gets you going. It's that line that starts the whole thing. And that was that rebound that, you know, made it 2-1 and started the whole thing. So that was
a good goal. I mean, he's right in front of the net waiting for it. Like, it's a good goal.
So I was going to say this. Ideally, I love having the enforcer element, the protector, and that sort of thing. Backus is filling it because you don't have anybody else, especially when Kevin Miller's not on the ice. And it's usually not a defenseman anyway. It'd be nice if someone on that crash line is that guy too. So now you're, because that's, you don't mind if he takes the 5 minutes. You're not going to miss him on the ice. He can fill that other role. And so ideally, that guy, and who's going to win the fight too, who's actually going to set tone by winning the fight versus getting his face pounded in every other night. So ideally, that's someone on the fourth line. That's not the way fourth lines are built anymore. It's not this fourth line. I mean, Achari, he should be able to fight. He hits like a ton of bricks.
Yeah, but to me, it's based on his speed. Like, more than anything, you know, it's getting ahead of steam and hitting someone versus just being an absolute monster and knocking them on their ass.
Adam in Rhode Island, your thoughts?
So that game right last night was probably about as close as you can get to the wet fart game you guys have been talking about coming. The team was not in it for at least a period, if not two, and they still figured out a way to win. Second point real quick, David Backus, love you, fist across Canada. You cannot fight anymore. Please stop. It looks horrible.
Okay. Fist across Canada. If anyone doesn't know what that is, he's a Team USA player. So in the Olympics a couple of years ago, he decided in the weeks leading up to the Olympics, this guy, to take on, well, all the big Canadian hockey players he could. And I some of this might be right, some of it's not, but I think he took on Taves, you know, and non-fighters. He decided to fight Taves. Decided to fight Stamkos, decided to fight like anyone in Canada that he could lay his mitts on. So, and he called it Fists Across Canada.
Love it.
Tremendous. And again, the guys he fought, it may not have been those two, but it was like that. Tried to fight Crosby, tried to fight Stamkos, tried to fight blah, blah, blah. And that's just who he is. I just think that's so valuable. And has contributed to the DNA on this team, which is what you need to have, what they need to have. And if you worry about him physically and whatnot, that's another thing. I'm sort of with that caller, though. I'd like my fighter to also win them, at least most of them. Because I don't know what sort of tone you set when you take someone on.
And you end up on your back.
Right. Dave and Worcester, your thoughts, Dave.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good.
Honestly, I love the way the team's playing. They're gritty. You know what I mean? And teams don't want to play against them because they're getting back to that physical style of play. And I like it. And I like the fact that they get the – I like the fact that they're going to face Tampa Bay in the second round. Because once they beat Tampa Bay in the second round, I think then it's easy sailing right to the Stanley Cup.
Who's got a train whistle for me? Yeah, who's got a train whistle? Come on.
Oh, I think it's in my locker.
You can't leave that in your locker.
Oh, no,
right?
No, yeah, they're rolling.
No, because once they beat Tampa Bay, it's on, man. It's on. All aboard.
All aboard. The bees train. Where is it? Is it
good
here?
Lord.
Did someone steal it from me?
You got to have that handy. Everyone's got to have that handy. Thank you.
All aboard.
Good Lord. Talk about getting ahead of yourself because you beat the whale and you also got outplayed. You should have lost that game. That was, the previous caller was right. That was maybe your wet fart night and you still managed to get 2 points somehow.
Yeah, keep your whistle in your pants is what I would say. They are the most dangerous shorthanded team in the league, though. I'll give them that. Like another one last night.
So, well, those two, Bergeron and Marchand.
Ridiculous.
Shorthanded, they're a weapon.
They really are. That, like, scares the crap out of you if you're the other team.
No question about it.
And that two-on-one, because how many times have you seen that? They execute that better than anybody, those two. Unreal.
And the pair, you know, DeBrusque and Krejci. They're not, that's not Bergeron, Marchand, but they got something going on, too, those two. That's nice.
I love DeBrusque.
But the response after the Johansson hit, even though it was clean, you're going to run a top six guy, and then the next thing you know, bodies are spilling all over the place. Achari's running people. Carlo's throwing his weight around. Backus is dropping his gloves. I don't care that he lost. It's like that whole response. It's just a tremendous sign for the Bruins. We continue with your thoughts on that and the Celtics right after Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hayward, cross half court. With that bridge, familiar logo. Start and stop, driving on Jarebko, floats it back to Horford. Swung to Terry Rozier. Rozier straight away, 12 on the shot clock, moves to Tatum. Quick entry, Horford. A double team comes. Cutter is James. Oh! Gets to the rim. Violent right hand slam, and the Celtics are as connected as we have seen them all year, and they lead by 17.
My. Who's your dad tag?
49-32.
Like the Jaylen Brown dunk there, Miss?
I mean, I thought it was one of the plays of the night because I think every guy on the floor touched the ball in the half-court offense. So, and they ran the shot clock down. They waited for the right shot, right? Hayward could have gone to the basket and taken a bad shot. He didn't. He kicked it back out and went, you know, to Rozier and then over to Tatum, Horford, Tatum, you know, and ultimately to Jaylen Brown. And the part I love that, to me, that stuck out to me about their offense last night was the cutting. Guys going to the hoop when they didn't have the ball. Instead of just standing there waiting for the ball to swing around on the perimeter and taking a jumper, guys were cutting to the basket. So Horford was in the middle of it early on, making all kinds of passes out of double teams. And I think they said he had 4 assists in the first 5 baskets of the game or something. So, to me, that's what it was. The guys cutting to the hoop and making the defense move. We haven't seen that all year.
No question. And did you think they had it in them? Given.
I doubt it. I questioned it.
How much they dislike each other.
Yeah, at this point in the year, I had completely given up hope, so that was very encouraging. Now do it again, and again, and again, and again.
You don't have to buy in after one game. I think that's totally fair. But it's also fair to say, well, at least they're capable of that, and we weren't sure of that. I wasn't sure they could come together for even a night. Josh and Haverhill, your thoughts on the Celts last night?
Well, gee willikers, boys. The Bruins are on a great point streak. It's amazing, you know, all kidding aside, I really love Jake DeBrusk. I'm excited for this playoff run for the Bruins. You know, playoff hockey is the best hockey, but all that aside, as the Celtics turn, Kyrie Irving, you know, put on last night, somewhat, Gordon Hayward did well. What I was really impressed with was all the, tip passes, from Smart and Irving. Irving looked really engaged on defense.
Okay, so you just gave me like 14 things. You nodded at the tip passes?
Yeah, Tatum, too. They were getting their hands on a lot of passes in passing lanes. And, you know, and I mentioned Tatum and Irving because typically those guys dog it on D, Tatum in particular. And look, the block on Durant that everyone's making a big deal about was a foul. I mean, he practically mugged him, for crying out loud. He did. Nonetheless, he got away with it, and it was the effort that was more
important. The challenge, right.
Yes, it was the effort that was more important than anything. So what they did is they were engaged as a team on both ends of the floor. Huh. That's funny what can happen when you actually try and play together. Interesting
so
how that works.
Yeah, you've made this point, and it is fair. So the yeah, but is that they face no adversity. Because we've seen that in snippets, like the first quarter in Toronto last week.
They were good.
Okay, and there's the same thing. Ball movement, engaged, like we got a ball game. And then Toronto went on a little run.
And they imploded.
And they just, like, they couldn't handle it. So they were never put in that spot last night where they had to face some adversity and dig deep and get it back. They never lost it. I mean, it was a deluge from the first minute. So that's sort of the next step. And we'll see if Sacramento gives that to him tonight.
Right. I mean, in layman's terms, can they take a punch? Because up until now, it feels like every time they get hit, they crack. Like, as a team, they have a glass jaw. So can they take a punch? What happens when the other team hits back? And then all of a sudden, do they start playing hero ball again? Do they start throwing their hands up and pointing at each other? Like, what happens then? Because to me, that's when it would show up.
Mike in Danvers on the Celts. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you? Just to clear something up, that Hayward, I think he got hit with an elbow by Nene in the last game, late in the game.
I don't think that's it. I think someone punched him on the plane on the way out.
Twice.
Okay, we'll go with what you say.
Thank
then,
you.
Mike.
Much better.
Okay, the other thing, now, 38 assists last night, okay? 29 fast break points, okay? So this team wins when the ball is moving and they're running. that's when they win. And Kyrie led the team with 11 assists. So when Kyrie moves the ball instead of forcing shots, they're going to win ball games. That's what I think. I want to hear what you guys
think. Okay, it's clear. That's what Kyrie was just a piece last night. It didn't go through him.
No, he was white. He was one guy of the five on the floor. I mean, it really was. It was striking when you see him play that way, right? Like, all of a sudden, it's not just in Kyrie's hands all the time. And honestly, I don't even care that much about the fast break points because I think a lot of those are going to dry up. It'll become a half-court game in the playoffs. Teams will get back on defense. It'll be tougher to do. But the ball movement in the half court and the cutting to the basket, that has to be there all the time.
Tommy in the car. Go ahead, Tommy, on Gordon Hayward.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Felger, I'm totally with you on this one. I saw the eye last night. I said there's no doubt he was punched in the face. But I think you guys are leaving out the most obvious suspect. Poor Mrs. Hayward is so sick and tired of Gordon Hayward playing video games. She barges into his lair, says you suck at basketball, and punches him right in the face.
Wake up! Get off the internet! Pop!
This is...
Cross my mind. Gordon, put down the joystick and let's play basketball. What? Bam! Get your ass out there.
I wonder if she threw it at him. Hit him with
maybe
the remote.
Maybe she chucked the joystick at him. Yep. I don't care if they even use joysticks anymore. Last time I played video games, it was a joystick. Controller. So you internet gamer nerds can just kiss my ass. She chucked the joystick at him. All right? He got hit with the AB button.
Hit him with the X1 remote.
Nick and Marshfield on the Bruins. Hi, Nick.
Hey, what's up, guys? I find it kind of weird, not really weird, but maybe that's the wrong word, but Charlie Coyle hasn't scored a goal in 12 games. I know you touched on that yesterday. It goes back to, I think, February 2nd against Buffalo. I like what he does. I think he's a great fit here, but he needs to produce. He's got to do something, especially now that Johansson's down.
No question, Nick. So Charlie Coyle to me is interesting. I like him on the ice. I feel the possession is there. I feel like he's got some rushes where he fends people off. I see him use his size. I think he works hard. He's not a loafer. He's pretty good on the dot. He's pretty good on the faceoff circle. Cassidy uses him all over the ice in all situations. He started overtime with them last night. How'd you like that overtime lineup? Wagner, Coyle, and who was it?
Krug.
Was it Krug with them? No, didn't Krug go out next? It was Coyle and Wagner. And I could just hear Pierre in my effing ear. Oh, you know, well, they play together. South Shore Kings, East Weymouth, blah, 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 blah. I don't care that they're from East Weymouth. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. So he starts off with Coyle and Wagner. And did you see that first shift?
I didn't.
Oh, my God. It was like it was a four corners offense. They just held the puck in their own zone. It was painful. But anyway, so that's an aside. When I watch Coyle play, I'm like, I like it. He doesn't produce 0-0-0 across the board. He hasn't had a goal or an assist. And it'd be nice if he could get on the score sheet. I feel like he does most everything else.
That's a quiet game.
Bro. Oh, my God. Well, no, it's... From a scoring standpoint, it's very it's freaking silent.
Charlie Coyle and Heinen should be on the same line.
It'd be nice if he could get on the score sheet. I would agree with that.
Can
on Charlie
they sign
Coyle.
Louis Erickson?
We continue with your thoughts. Long commercial free segment is next.
The quiet line.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bruins bring it in. Held in by Johansson. We got popped near side, away from the puck by Ferland. And he is down in pain along the near side. Johansson laying on his left shoulder. Donnie Del Negro will head out.
Johansson tried to make this move on Ferland, tried to get around him. Ferland lined him up perfectly. It looks like a real good, clean hit from Ferland. He might have caught him in the head a little bit, but the angle that I just saw, Judd, and we're looking at right now, it's just that's a good, hard hockey hit. Didn't look like he had his feet up in the air, off the ice. If the elbow was not up.
Wasn't late.
Oh, not late at all.
I think it's clean. I think it's hard and clean, and you know, it's shoulder, chest. But if guys are going to be running our skill guys, we need to keep them accountable. And you know, credit to him, he obliges, and we go at it. And you know, I think it was a decent fight, but the hit I think is clean and hard. Just you know, one of our good skill players gets hurt, and I felt it was you know, pretty aggressive, and we need to have an answer for it.
I love Backus, I do. You know, and I'm glad they're not whining about if they... No one said it was a bad hit. I think in the moment, they might have thought it was. In the moment, I think they thought it was. But even when they saw the replay, knew it was clean, they said, as Backus said, it still deserves a response. Run one of our skill guys, you know, there's going to be a response. That's a sign of a healthy team right there. We can debate whether Backus should be the one doing it or how that team's constructed or how teams are constructed now in general.
It's amazing. You don't see teams play like that much anymore, right? Where the way to combat a skill guy is to hit him. And now if you do it, again, and look, it happened in the old days too. I'm not saying it didn't. But I think now it happens and it seems just completely out of character for someone to get lit up like that. You just never see it anymore.
So anyway, that's the Bruins thing, and the Backus thing I think is interesting. And you know, to his credit, he's taken on that role. But his concussion history has given some people a little bit of pause, for sure. So that's one of the things on the board with all of our Celtic stuff. We're going to get to the latest on Robert Kraft coming up at the top of the next hour as well. We'll mix in some Patriots thoughts at that time as well. But back to your phones here, as promised. Jerry on Cape Cod on the Celts. Go ahead, Jerry.
Oh, man, if there's a show like yours out west, they must be raising total hell with the Warriors. They were not only horrible on defense, their passing couldn't be, you know, any worse than it was. It's almost like they laid down last night and let the Celtics take over.
You concur, Maz?
Absolutely. Again, there was no resistance in that game at all. Not really. There were a couple of spots where the Warriors dug in a little bit. A couple. And I would say after it was 11-0, where they probably were read the riot act by their coach on the bench, like, when are you going to play? And I would say about halfway through the third quarter where it looked like they were starting to dig in a little bit. And at one point it got down to 17. Not that that's anything to brag about. So, but other than that, they were comatose.
I'd be worried if I were a Warriors fan. A little bit. I'd be worried that Boogie Cousins has infected that team. Again, what'd you call him earlier, Maz? A lazy loser bum?
Something like that. I don't even remember exactly, but he's a lazy something bum.
Oh, my God. His defense is just, it is embarrassing. It's embarrassing. The effort, the attention he pays to it, it's a joke. And he doesn't even really play their style. You got to sort of pound it into Boogie to get the most out of him, which is not really what they want to do. And then there's the whole a-hole factor. You could just see it.
Oh, it's all over the court when you watch them, especially on a night like that. They played like they didn't want to play. Oh. Steve Kerr called it embarrassing loss when the whole thing was over, and he was right.
But I wonder if Boogie's infected that thing. And they've got something similar to what you've got going on, which is maybe a superstar who's got one foot out the door in Kevin Durant. And is that sort of lingering there on that team as well?
I wouldn't rule that out. Again, they look like a team last night that was not interested in being in the arena. Really, that thing was pathetic. For them to get dusted the way they did out of the beginning, if you go back and look at it, watch how many Celtics shots were contested. Not many. I mean, they were wide open, a lot of them.
Pete in Delaware. Go, Pete.
Hey, guys. You know, I have a new respect for Ty Lue to be able to deal with both Kyrie and LeBron and win a championship. I mean, just to think about that, because those two right now, you look at both the Lakers and the Celtics, listening to those two is like a recording. It is unbelievable the way they talk about the young players, win or lose. And even last night, you said the me. And can you please take the Uncle Drew hat off once in a while?
For a guy who claims he doesn't like the cameras, he sure reaches for that hat quite a bit. You know, including yesterday in the middle of the interview. Oh, you can't stand the cameras, and this is a challenge. I don't want to be famous anymore like I used to when I was a young kid. Hold on a second. Let me grab my hat to promote my movie. This guy. And then last night, Jimmy, would you just replay again the ESPN walk-off? I mean, Kyrie plays perfectly. So I'm being a little bit hypocritical because yesterday I said I just care about how he plays and not what he says. So he played a team game last night, but I'm going to rip him for what he said after. I just am, so I'm a hypocrite. So it was a great team win, right? He was just part of the cast. He was an ensemble member last night. It was, they shared the ball. He shared the ball. The team responded. It was a great team night, but Kyrie can't help himself, but being LeBron, this is,
we put a lot.
Yeah. This is on ESPN. The game's not 2 minutes old. when this happens?
We put a lot of emphasis on being connected, being together, and we just haven't been doing it. We've been doing a lot of talking, and honestly, it's finally about time we put some action to it. And it starts with me. It starts with my energy and where I go out there and the way I play. But
stop.
These guys did
incredible. It's just like, it's about time we played connected and as a team, and it's about all of us and not any one guy, and that starts with me. It starts with me.
It is. It's so comical.
And it's about my energy and what I bring to it. Like, he can't even get half a sentence out about it being a team win and being connected, and it's all about us and not any one guy, and that starts with me.
I mean, he does. He's got to get his credit, right, as a leader.
Me.
He's like, oh, my God, does he crave the credit as a leader?
My. Play, and then post game, play Kyrie one, if we can, please, just because we're on it.
We all haven't been feeling too great, as of late. So it's not short of that. And you know, it's a choice that we all had to make. You know, being down, with 17 or 18 games left, and knowing what we're gearing up for. It's my job to show these guys what it's like to be at that type of level on a consistent basis. And you know, with my attitude and with my effort and being able to give confidence to these guys, it's just as important as me, being who I'm supposed to be. So as long as my teammates are feeling good, then we're in a good place.
He can't help himself.
Follow me. I am the shining beacon.
Starts off with, we haven't been playing great. We had a choice to make. So it's my job and my effort and mine. It's up to me. He just can't help it.
No, he can't help it.
He's been infected by LeBron.
He's got to get the credit for it always. It's unbelievable. He has been infected by, corrupted, I think is a better word. Like, because that's what it is. And so even the comment, when you think about it, what he's saying is, well, no, it's important to me to have the other guys doing well other than me just being great. Like, because that's what he wants to say. That's really the translation. I should be able to take just as much out of the other guys doing well because that's why I'm here. Like, that's what they've been trying to drill in his head, and it's almost like he still doesn't get it.
I don't think it.
It starts with me. It starts with my energy and where I go out there and the way I play.
It's my job, my attitude, and with my effort, being who I'm supposed to be. So as long as my teammates are feeling good, then the basketball part is just, I have to keep that fun. That's where I'm great. That's where I love to play.
That was just last night. We didn't go well. That was just within a 5-minute span last night. Me, my.
It starts with me.
It's just unbelievable.
It starts with my energy.
James,
go ahead.
James in Watertown on David Backus. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I'm just listening to you guys on the show today. Who else would you want to take the role of fighter on this team other than him? I feel like Backus is kind of the perfect guy for this. Sure, not who he was or, not that you don't want to be paying a guy just to be doing the fighting, but they don't have anyone else.
It's true.
In the defensive court. They don't have a McQuaid kind of guy. I just don't know how you don't want the young guy getting involved in this. I think he's the perfect kind of fit for this.
Okay, I'm just going to stop you.
If he was healthy, Kevin Miller.
Kevin Miller. But that guy's typically not a defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually a forward. It just is.
Right.
It just is. The old enforcer was almost always a forward. I mean, those all of them.
Yeah, because you don't want to lose a defenseman. Exactly.
You've got 12 forwards.
Right.
So the 12th guy is your fighter, and if he goes away for 5 minutes, 17 minutes, a game is kind of, what's the diff? When you lose one of six defensemen, so it's almost always a forward. If Kevin Miller was on the ice last night, I'd like to think Kevin Miller would take that fight. But it just sort of shows you. I mean, that 2011 Cup team, pretty much the whole team could fight. Outside of Bergeron and Krejci. Name another guy. I mean, Lucic, Horton would fight.
Ferentz. Oh, they would fight. Okay. Ferentz would fight.
All the defensemen could fight.
Yeah, McQuaid, yep, absolutely.
All of them. All six defensemen, I think. Ferentz, mild-mannered guy, but...
Well, Seidenberg wasn't really a fighter, right?
Not really, so that's fair. But Chara, Ferentz, McQuaid, you name it, they all fought. The whole fourth line could fight. The third line, okay, so maybe Michael Ryder doesn't fight, but of their 20 skaters, maybe 15 of the guys could fight and really fight.
No, it's true. And Ferentz was, he was like a raccoon.
This team, like most teams, they don't even really have a guy. And... it's too bad. I think that's a commentary on the league. I wish there was still a place for that guy. So you don't have him. It's David Backus by default because he doesn't want to be scratched. He wants to play. And so, as he said, he went to Cassidy and said, what can I do to stay on the ice and have a role? And this is one of the things that they came up with, which he's not a great fighter anymore. He's got a concussion history and et cetera. So that's sort of the yeah, but to the David Backus role. But I got a lot of respect for him as in the way he carries himself and All that. Tremendous intangible guy. So, Bruins, Celtics on the board. Let's get to Robert Kraft and the very latest with Kraft. Right after Murray's 90-second update, no spots here.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.